Well, things tend to grind to a halt as we stagger towards Christmas in terms of news down in Washington and around the country. But there is an agenda.
I was going to say, are you kidding me? I'm really busy.
Well, we're busy, but try to get anything else done. What's on the agenda this morning? We're joined by Charlie Herman, economics editor for The Takeaway and WNYC Radio. Charlie, this week's going to be all about what?
I think trying to find stability.
Stability. All right. Stability from Charlie Herman and Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Good morning, Todd.
Hi. Good morning, John.
What's this week going to be all about in your view?
It's all about Christmas, trying to get the agenda done so everyone can go home for Santa Claus.
So let's take a look at the frame of the debate over the weekend over who to give tax cuts to and why. It sounded a little like Santa sort of checking his list twice or deciding not to make it. If you're Senator Mitch McConnell, the Republican, speaking on NBC's Meet the Press, listen.
Look, this argument's over, David. You and I can continue to engage in it, but it's over. The Senate voted yesterday. Every Republican and five Democrats said, we're not raising taxes on anybody in the middle of a recession.
And bottom line.
And what does Al Franken say on the floor of the Senate about tax cuts and unemployment insurance last Friday?
The choice before us is clear this holiday season. Lend a hand to those who simply can't get by without the help. Or give $100,000 in average tax cuts to people making over $1 million. Where are our values? What are we doing here?
So, Todd Zwillick, is this a lot of promises on the floor, whether you're a rich person or a middle-class person, that, and nothing's really likely to be delivered either between now and Christmas or anytime soon?
No, what that was a big lump of coal delivered to Democrats by Mitch McConnell in that first cut. That's a big lump of Christmas coal. Mitch McConnell is right. The argument is over. The Democrats' dream of keeping tax cuts for $250,000 and below and raising them for everybody else is over. And the Senate has voted twice. The votes are not there. That's why they held those sort of show votes on Saturday, because the argument is over. So now we're all waiting for the deal. The White House is in discussions with McConnell and Boehner and Pelosi. Those discussions continued on Saturday. They continue today. And in the next 48 hours, what we're expecting is an extension of all tax cuts, all Bush-era tax cuts for everyone. We don't know for how long yet. Probably for 2 years, which was the extension that we've been talking about on this show for, probably about 6 weeks. That's where I thought they'd land, right. And it looks like it's where they're going to land. In combination with, now we've been talking about unemployment insurance, the bone, the crumb that Democrats get out of this deal, which they don't want, is an extension of unemployment insurance benefits, 9 months, maybe to a year, for folks who are out of work, an extension of some other tax cuts that are in the stimulus.
Which could affect about 2 million people. That's Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. So, Charlie Herman, does that project stability to investors around the world that the U.S. won't raise taxes in the middle of record deficits? How's the Eurozone take this? I guess they have their own problems.
They have their own problems over there. I mean, I think it does show that there is some degree of stability. I mean, people will have an answer to the question about these tax cuts for the next couple of years. You're seeing reports, for example, that on Wall Street they're trying to figure out what to do about bonuses to pay based on when this tax cut's going to happen. Everyone wants the answer to this question, so the sooner they get the answer, the better. But I don't know if that's going to spell out or give you an indication of how Congress will be able to work going into the next session when Republicans control the House.
Nevertheless, though, over in Europe, the financial contagion of instability or insecurity, or I don't know what it is, seems to just continue to escalate.
It really spreads there. I mean, you sort of have this sense of, think back to 2 years ago here in the U.S. when you had one bank would get into trouble and then another bank would get into trouble. And then you sort of saw this spreading out of this problem. It started with Greece back in May. They needed, billions of dollars to be bailed out. Then it went to Ireland. Same situation. Now there's concerns about Portugal. And I think the thing for a lot of listeners to really care about this is this something that you could see happening here in the U.S.? This idea that a state here in the U.S. actually gets into some sort of fiscal trouble, like California, like New York, like Illinois, and these states have an inability to pay a lot of the obligations that they have, for example, to pensions or health care, and what are the consequences of that? And so I think what you're seeing overseas in Europe is something that is what we're worried about here in the U.S. It's why there was the debt commission that last week had its proposals.
And nothing got done there. I mean, I remember when Iceland exploded at the very beginning of the financial meltdown, we thought it was kind of like the appendix. You sort of excise it and it's done. These other countries, when you start talking Portugal, Spain, possibly even Italy, you're getting pretty close to the aorta here.
Well, you get very close to countries like Germany and France that are much more stable and have much better financing. And what happens in those countries ends up affecting bond markets and stock markets here in the U.S., and it ends up just leading to this overall instability. It's the same sort of thing that when banks here got into trouble 2 years ago, suddenly Europe had a lot of problems. Now it's the other way around, and the impact it could have on the U.S., and also just an example of if we don't get our financial debt in order, this could be something that we perhaps face.
And indeed, Charlie, you said this week was going to be all about stability. Right.
We'll try and solve the whole debt problem.
He said search for stability.
Search for stability. That's three words. Okay. Todd Zwillich, speaking of security and insecurity, these talks about Iran are taking place, or talks about Korea are taking place in Washington between Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and representatives of Japan and South Korea. Anything meaningful there?
Not as far as I know, John. I got to tell you, Washington is really, really focused on what's going on in the Congress because of the economy. And everybody's worrying about taxes because that's the thing that they think affects every single last American in the holiday season. What they're really focused on trying to get this tax debate done is that there's a whole bunch of stuff blocked up behind it, which is don't ask, don't tell. Immigration, the DREAM Act. You talk about Iran and missiles, nukes.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.